The door behind her opened.
"It's quick,"
the dean said, in a tone of mixed outrage and dismay. Alexandra turned to face her with a defiant expression, but her defiance mounted when she saw the man behind Miss Grimm.
"Mr. Tsotsi?"
Miss Grimm took several careful steps into the room, eyeing the snake in Alexandra's hands, and Henry Tsotsi followed. The Navajo was wearing a red Auror's vest beneath a dark wizard's robe, something Alexandra had never seen any Indians wear back in Dineta. Underneath the robes, though, he was wearing jeans and the same dusty western boots he'd had on when she last saw him.
"Auror Tsotsi came here to collect the body of John Mammolito," Miss Grimm said.
"The body?" Alexandra was conscious of Nigel twisting about in her hand, but she didn't look at the snake, still could not consider her familiar a threat.
"He was one of ours," Tsotsi said.
"I read that Navajos are afraid of dead bodies," Alexandra said, "because of Chindi."
"You read that, huh?"
Tsotsi's eyes were nearly as stone-like as Miss Grimm's, but Alexandra realized that whereas Miss Grimm's cold, implacable expression masked what she didn't want to show, Henry Tsotsi was showing his true face. At least the truest face he'd show to any Bilagan.
"In the case of an Antini, a Chindi is a real possibility," he said. "We'll perform the necessary ceremonies to ensure that John Mammolito's Chindi does not come back. And then I'll have to spend a long time being purified. This is not a pleasant duty."
Alexandra wasn't sure what to say to that. Then she thought of all the students down at the infirmary, and the ceremony in the sweat lodge back in Dineta.
"Mr. Tsotsi, can you help the people who were struck with ghost sickness?"
"I'm sure Charmbridge Academy can call in the best healers around."
"Not for this. Healers don't even believe in Chindi. But I know your people can cure ghost sickness."
Tsotsi shrugged.
"I'm just an Auror from the Indian Territories. I came here to collect a dead man and see that his Chindi does no more harm."
"There are a lot of kids sick, Mr. Tsotsi," Alexandra said. "They were made sick because of John Mammolito. You said he was one of yours."
The Auror said nothing for such a long time that it was Miss Grimm who spoke up next.
"If you could give any relief to our children, Mr. Tsotsi, I would be extremely grateful, and I assure you I would make sure proper credit is given."
"You think I care about the gratitude of all those colonial parents?"
There was no scorn or meanness in Tsotsi's voice, just flat dismissal.
"I think you care about people who've been hurt by witchery," Alexandra said. "You're a sheepdog."
Mr. Tsotsi ran a hand slowly down his sleeve.
"I'll call Billy Tawawina. She could bring a couple of medicine singers up."
He glanced at Miss Grimm.
"Charmbridge Academy allows non-standard magical traditions."
"I am dean here," Miss Grimm said. "It will not be a problem. Thank you, Mr. Tsotsi."
Tsotsi nodded minutely.
"Miss Quick, put the snake back in the bowl," said the dean.
Reluctantly, Alexandra did so. Nigel had lain quiescent in her hand during the entire conversation, but twisted a bit as she set him back inside the glass bowl on the dean's desk.
Tsotsi said, "Dingrim told me about your familiar and your problem. I'll make a proposal to you. I'll take your Nigel."
The Auror patted the small bulge beneath his robes where Alexandra knew he carried a leather satchel.
"There's room enough in here for two snakes."
Alexandra looked from the snake to the wizard.
"You'll take care of them?"
Tsotsi nodded. Alexandra swallowed.
"Thank you."
The Auror walked to the dean's desk. He showed no great interest in the office or the furnishings or the men and women studying him curiously from the wall. He picked up the bowl, lifted his robes to reveal the leather pouch on his belt, opened it, and paused a moment as Nigel hissed. Then he tilted the bowl, and Nigel fell into the dark interior of Henry Tsotsi's leather pouch.
"He says you're welcome," Tsotsi said, as he closed the pouch.
He set the empty bowl back on the desk and straightened his robes. Then he turned and gave Miss Grimm a nod before exiting her office.